for my parents. Author's note. During my time at Love in Action, LIA, no journaling, photographing, or any other method of recording was allowed inside the facility. To that effect, all events, physical descriptions, and dialogue have been reconstructed to the best of my ability. My mother's and my memories, LIA's ex-gay handbook, newspaper articles, blog posts, and personal interviews have supplemented the empty spaces where trauma has made dark what was once painfully clear. As in most memoirs, the chronology is accurate, altered only in places where the narrative requires it. I have excluded details that seemed irrelevant to the nature of the story. The names and certain identifying characteristics of some key figures in my life, including Chloe, Brandon, David, Brad, Brother Stevens, and Brother Nielsen, have been changed. I wish none of this had ever happened. Sometimes I thank God that it did. Yet she could see by their shocked and altered faces that even their virtues were being burned away. Flannery O'Connor, Revelation. If I'm looking at that wall and suddenly I say, it's blue, and someone else comes along and says, no, no, it's gold, but I want to believe that that wall is blue. It's blue, it's blue, it's blue. But then God comes along and he says, you're right, John, it is blue. That's the help I need. God can help me make that wall blue. Ex-gay leader John Smid, in an interview with the Memphis Flyer. Timeline of the ex-gay movement. 1973. The American Psychological Association declassifies homosexuality as a mental illness. Love in Action, LIA, a non-denominational fundamentalist Christian organization, rejects APA's decision and opens its doors in San Rafael, California, promising to cure LGBT congregants of their sexual addictions. 1976. The first ex-gay conference takes place in Anaheim, California, where more than 62 attendees form what becomes Exodus International, the largest ex-gay umbrella organization in the world. LIA is its flagship program. 1977. Jack McIntyre, a four-year member of LIA, commits suicide, prompting one of the group's founding members, John Evans, to condemn the program. In a suicide note, McIntyre writes, to continually go before God and ask for forgiveness and make promises you know you can't keep is more than I can take. 1982. Exodus Europe, an independent organization working in coalition with Exodus International, holds its first ex-gay conference in the Netherlands. Ministries now exist in Australia, Brazil, and Portugal. 1989. Exodus expands its mission to include the Philippines and Singapore. The organization, which at its peak supported more than 200 ministries across the United States, has reached mainstream attention, with spots on national television and radio. 1990. John Smid takes over as director of LIA. 1993. John Evans, a co-founder of LIA, writes an article for the Wall Street Journal denouncing ex-gay therapy. They're destroying people's lives. If you don't do their thing, you're not of God. You'll go to hell. They're living in a fantasy world. 1994. Under John Smid's direction, LIA moves its headquarters to Memphis, Tennessee, purchasing 5 acres of land to house its residential program. 1998. Ex-gay leader John Polk, soon to be featured on the cover of Newsweek with his ex-lesbian wife, founds Love One Out, a series of yearly ex-gay conferences. 2000. First Latin American Exodus Conference is held in Quito, Ecuador. Ministries are now in China, India, Indonesia, Malaysia, Mexico, Sri Lanka, and Taiwan. 2003. LIA opens its controversial refuge program, bringing together teenagers and adults suffering from various sex-based addictions. 2004. My ex-gay story begins. 1. Monday, June 7th, 2004. John Smid stood tall, square-shouldered, beaming behind thin, wire-rimmed glasses, and wearing the khaki slacks and striped button-down that have become standard fatigues for evangelical men across the country. The raised outlines of his undershirt